Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Throwback to the 80s.
High,
we went
high,
deep.
High.
I've been searching low.
No.
Milli Vanilli is your artist of the day on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. Stop laughing. Sam and I were digging deep today.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to hear from the boss on that one. Really?
Do you know how many number one hits and number of records they sold in 1989?
But and I always kind of felt sorry for them because, yes, they scammed everyone into thinking they were singing. However, the bajillion dollar record moguls in charge of those two beautiful men came up with the idea, stoked that fire, and then kept it going. And as they started taking off in their career, they said, let us sing. And the executive said, no, we've heard you sing. We're going to stick with fake McFake guy in the studio back here. Did we ever find out who it was singing for them?
Yes, it was. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He was from Germany.
I wanted to say there was a Germany connection.
Yes. He was a German pop singer, but he was really fat. And so nobody would give him the time of day. But he wrote these really catchy tunes, and he had by 80s standards, a catchy voice. And so they put out that record, I believe it was late 88, early 89, I can't remember. And these were the two guys they had fronting it for the Fat German. And they sold – Sam, will you look it up, what Girl You Know It's True, how many records they sold on that record?
And then you think there was a point that the executives like just didn't realize they were going to become overnight sensations? And there had to have been a point where they were like, oh my gosh, we did not mean for this to be this big. And now when it comes out that it's not them, it's going to be a really, really bad deal for everyone.
They won a Grammy for Best New Artist.
I know.
6 million copies.
Six million copies.
Less than a year.
Mm-hmm. They were so handsome, too.
One of them's dead.
Yes. Correct. Sadly, yes. Did you see overnight Vera Wang set the internet on fire because she posted several photos of herself, one wearing a sports bra, and Scott, Vera Wang is 70 years old.
Can I ask a really dumb question because I'm not into this world?
She is a very famous designer. Yes. Wedding gowns. Yes.
Okay.
She is 70 years old. I looked up the photos. You will not believe she's 70 years old. I think she looks closer to 35. It's not like she's 70 and you could be like, well, she's 70, but damn, she looks good. She's 70 and looks like, what would you say, Sam? Because you're young.
She fooled me that she was 70. Let's just put it that way. I did not believe it looking at the pictures.
But what would you have guessed? Because I would have guessed 45, no older than that. She has abs, Scott. Like abs.
Okay, I'm looking it up. Vera Wang is her name?
Yeah, just Google Vera Wang. It's the first thing that'll come up because like a billion people are commenting about it. That can you be a sex symbol at 70? And people are saying that she proves the answer is yes.
Okay. Is she Asian?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking because that's the person that pops
up. What, did Wang throw you off?
He wasn't certain. But no, she definitely looks like a very chiseled, not 70-year-old woman.
I'm trying to find the scantily clad photographs, but I can't.
She's just wearing a sports bra, and they, you know, everyone was saying, "What is your secret?" And she replied, "Work, sleep, a vodka cocktail, and not much sun." And I will say this: she's crazy pale, like never seen a drop of sun pale.
Oh yeah, she is in good shape.
How old do you think she looks?
In the picture that I'm looking at, 40.
Her neck doesn't even look old. That's usually what gives women away. Your hands and your neck.
Hmm. Yeah, she's in good shape. Good for her.
Can you be a sex symbol at age 70?
Cher's in good shape. Why not? Raquel Welch was a sex symbol late in her life.
Christie Brinkley, how old is she? 60?
She's got to be closing in on it.
Let me look. Let me look. I don't think she's 70.
No,
Well, she's 66. God, she looks good.
What about, what's her face? From Perfect 10.
Bo Derek.
Bo Derek. She was in Tommy Boy, yeah.
Okay, how old is... I bet you she's older than Christy Brinkley, if I had to guess. Nope, wrong. She's 63 and looks older. Hmm. Do you know what I noticed the other day looking down in the middle of the night while I was on the toilet? Sorry, but I was. It was like 3 a.m.
A floater?
And I look... No!
High in fiber.
I looked down. It was like 3 a.m. and I'm in a fog. And I noticed my hands. And I will tell you, I am 46 years old. For the first time, I looked at my hands and I thought, oh, there it is.
You thought you looked old?
Well, look, can you see my hands?
I see 10 fingers.
They just, like, if I stretch them like that, I can now see, I don't know what you call that, skin? It's not really wrinkles, but it's starting to look like, I remember when my grandmother's hands looked like that, and now my mother's hands look like that, and now I have I'm starting to have those hands.
No. Why can't you be a sex symbol at 70? Why not?
When do you really?
She doesn't look 70.
Do you really think those photos aren't touched up at all?
No, I don't. There's like 9 pictures of her.
For 70, she looks really, really good. Congratulations. Vera Wang.
I think people are more inclined to say a rugged Hollywood male star can be a sex symbol at 70.
Like
but
Mel
they
Gibson.
Are less inclined to say a female can be a sex symbol.
Oh, boy, I don't know if I agree with that.
Like, how old is the guy that, oh, God, super famous. What's his name? Not Paul Newman, the other guy. Blonde. Looks like Brad Pitt.
Not Paul Give me Newman. A movie. What's his...
Oh, God, he's in everything. He was my mom's sex symbol back in that era.
Oh, Robert Redford.
Robert Redford. Thank you, my God. I think people are more inclined to say, well, Robert Redford can still be a sex symbol at 70, but you don't hear that as often when you're talking about women.
Hmm.
Oh, you know I'm right. Don't even argue with me on that. How old is Robert Redford? Damn, he does look good.
83.
83. Okay, and you can really see it in his neck. I'm kind of starting to get obsessed with the neck.
Wow. Can you imagine if I said that about a woman?
I'm just saying. Can that gravity right there? Wasn't it Nora Ephron who said, you can nip and you can tuck and you can change all kinds of things about your body. You cannot hide your neck.
Can you imagine if I said about a woman, well, look at that neck.
But we're talking about the neck as an indicator of age. That's why I said it.
So if I'm looking at Diane Keaton and I go, man, you know, she's still pretty, but damn, look at that neck. You would not lose your face.
Are we having a conversation about the neck being an indicator about age? Then no, yes. I would not lose my...
You're lying. You're lying.
Okay. And Diane Keaton wears scarves. You don't ever see her neck.
576-7798. 576-7798. Sam Stevie... She's crazy, Sam.
Why did this become a sexist conversation?
She's nuts, man. She's just nuts.
Where did that go?
Sam Stevie the Third. I'm Scott Parks. That's Dana Wright on KMBZ.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to. Places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind.
Don't say.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Story here from...
Yes.
Go ahead, Danny. You have something?
Well, I'm looking at your ceiling, so I don't know what you're wooing about.
I'm sorry.
I thought something was wrong, too.
I did, too. I'm like, do you need the clapper? Clap on, clap off.
I'm using my phone, and Zoom eats the living crap out of the battery of my phone. So I'm charging it.
Okay.
Governor Laura Kelly, this is from the Hutchinson News, story by Tim Carpenter, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, used to write for the Lawrence Stern World. Governor Laura Kelly said city or county orders requiring businesses to keep records of consumer visits was unreasonable and an alternative voluntary approach with individuals keeping a journal of their public activity might be sufficient to assist health officials with contact tracing of COVID-19. The Linn County Health Director issued a May 4th order requiring businesses to record the names, contact phone numbers, and the time and date of interactions with clients, patrons, or customers for at least 30 days to help find people potentially infected with the virus. In addition, officials in Kansas City, Missouri, have developed rules for reopening restaurants on Friday that strongly encouraged maintenance of records on all customers who stayed in the business more than 10 minutes. Hell no.
Scott, this is putting the onus on the business owners who are already frazzled, just trying to get by right now, let alone under the 10-10-10 rule. This is putting the onus on those poor proprietors to then say, when I come in as a customer, hey, and by the way, the government's going to keep tabs on you. I need you to put your name and your phone number down in this book here.
Yeah, my name is going to all of a sudden become Jim Long, and my phone number is going to start with a 660.
Okay, why don't we take the names that you would write down on the text line?
Richard Long.
Okay. That could be one of them. Mm-hmm. I would be Anita Leg.
Not a real guy.
There is no way it is constitutional.
No.
First of all, I know that this says for pharmacies. Let me look at the list of the businesses in Linn County. They want them to do this.
Well, by the way, while you're doing that, I applaud Governor Laura Kelly, who said, I think this is going a little bit too far.
A little bit?
I don't see us doing that. My gut is that's an awful lot to ask of people. Bravo. Bravo.
Forget a lot to ask, Scott. There is no way that that is constitutional. No way. In fact, they are claiming it is a violation of, here we go, the 4th and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution.
To unreasonable search and seizure, yep.
Correct. Here it is. The health order mandates physicians. Okay. So now the government wants to know which doctor I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Attorneys. What if I'm filing for divorce and my abusive partner doesn't know it?
Right.
Pharmacists.
Oh, when I go pick up my Viagra?
Also protected health information. Veterinarians. Why are we picking on veterinarians?
Well, they need to know when Stella needs to get her nails clipped and when she's getting her flea medicine. It's very important.
Dentists, bankers, accountants, restaurant managers, and other business operators.
No.
No.
Five, seven,
so they've
six,
listed seven. I want to know if you have been told you have to do this, we would love to hear from you. Because if I was a business owner, I would put two gigantic middle fingers up in the air. There is no way.
Okay. 576-7798. 576-7798. A number of city and county governments have said businesses have to log by name, phone number, time, and date who comes into their store. Hell no, this ain't China. 576-7798. More with Dan and Parks in just a moment on KMBZ.
Every breath you take, and every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day.
The year was 1983. Every word you say. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. From the text line. It's a good one. From 1826, what do you think contact tracing involves? How do you think fake names will help someone reach you to let you know that you've been exposed? Thanks for becoming part of the problem. Richard Short.
Let me be clear.
There is a way, by the way.
There is a way to do this. And still be within the boundaries of good public policy and not trample all over your rights to go to the pharmacy without everyone in your family knowing it. And that is to do what they have been doing for years. Even if there's like a norovirus outbreak at a buffet, they put a news release out and it goes on the news. And they say, if you have been in the last 6 days or whatever at this business, there is an outbreak there. We need to hear from you.
And then I call
that's how you do it. That's how they've always done it.
And I volunteer my information because I want to be part of the solution, but I don't want to be tracked by my GD government.
Here's the other deal. You cannot ask the business owners to do this.
No, you cannot. It is clearly a violation of search and seizure. The Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
So what do you do, Scott? Do you put a voluntary sheet up at the front desk and just say, look, if you would like to put your name here.
If you would like to use the same pen as everybody who's walked into this business and probably has coronavirus all over it, and then touch the piece of paper that has coronavirus all over it, please do.
Please let us know. Just write it down right here.
No, what you do is if there's an outbreak. Go ahead.
You mean to tell me that that database would be kept private? No. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I'm turning into you.
Well, Dana, that's because you've seen the reasonableness of my opinions regarding the government. I don't trust the government. I never have. And I don't trust them to keep that information, A, private, or B, for a limited time. And no.
C, how is it not a HIPAA violation to ask doctors' offices to compile lists and names and phone numbers to hand over to a third party? How?
Sam, to the phones, please.
Carrie in Kansas City.
Hi, Carrie. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
I got a comment or a statement to make about something that you both said about not taking names and phone numbers down to contact someone. It's no different than if you contracted an STD and you were being treated for it, and the government requires you to give the names of anyone that you came into contact that you would have given that to, I would want to know whether or not I was in contact with somebody who had COVID-19.
Well, Carrie, can I interrupt for a second if you don't mind? The government does not, if you do contract an STD short of maybe HIV, the government does not require you to give them the names of everybody you've had sex with. They do not do that.
Okay. But still.
Well, no, but now your point is mute.
Well, mute, not mute.
Totally.
I don't know either way. My assumption would be the onus is on the infected to go then do the right thing and contact your partners and say,
I would agree with that.
Hey, I got the, you know, thing going on down there.
I got the herpes.
There are two problems with this. Number one, they're keeping a database of where people have gone and when. And number, which is different, Scott, than the geofencing they had been doing to show where clusters of people were gathered.
But they were doing that without your...
That's a lot different.
But they were allegedly doing that without your name or your phone number being tracked. Now, I'm not ashamed nor embarrassed of anywhere I've been in the last 2 months, much less the last 2 years. I have not been somewhere I should not be. However, the one thing on this planet I do not trust is my own federal government, and they have no right to know where I have been, where I have eaten, where I have gone to grocery shop, where I go to get my hair cut. That's none of their damn business, and I don't trust my government.
Here's the other problem. If you are an attorney, a pharmacist, a veterinarian. I can't believe the veterinarian.
Yeah, that one's a weird one to me.
You know that my college roommate and dearest friend Libby owns Martin City Animal Hospital. Mm-hmm. So how could a government say to her, we need to track the people coming in and out of your clinic?
But the
government is not saying to a hardware store, and let's just name one, let's say Lowe's. They're not saying that those, quote, essential businesses have to log everybody's name and phone number. So if I'm a business owner, I'm going to say, why are you doing this to me? But anyone driving through McDonald's can come and go, or Lowe's, or Home Depot, or name your other big price chopper.
Yeah, the only argument I could think of in regards to a veterinarian, and I think that's a weird one, Dana, is that they have shown that cats and now dogs can transmit and carry the coronavirus. That's the only thing that comes to mind. And especially cats. Cats can carry and transmit coronavirus. That's the only thing that even pops into my mind. But are you going to go through the McDonald's drive-thru and the lady says, okay, now listen, before I give you this bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, I need your name, I need your phone number, and I'm going to log down what time you came in and what time you left. Okay, sir? Thanks. Hi, yeah, my name's Richard Short, okay? And my phone number is 555-EAT-MY.
Someone just wrote me on my private cell phone, and I will not say who, and said, I'm just going around and saying my name's Scott Parks.
Sam,
damn that Scott Parks gets around.
God, man, he's everywhere.
This all just feels very Orwellian to me.
What's he doing at Bazooka's, like, every night? They're not even open.
It's the smell. DJ in Oklahoma.
DJ or BJ?
DJ in Oklahoma.
DJ. Hi, DJ in Oklahoma.
Hi, DJ.
Hi. Hey, good afternoon. In age, we are tracked if you use your debit card or your credit card. If I go to the pharmacy, they know I was there that day in that time. Restaurant, same way.
Correct.
It is their way of tracking. So it's not really the government. It's just the way our system works. Now, if you use cash, yes, you can sidestep the system.
But who's tracking you when you use
a
debit
card? That's right,
Dana. Who is tracking you when you use a debit card?
The transaction is...
Who is tracking you when you buy something at the pharmacy?
It would be your bank, I suppose, that would know
that
you've been...
The pharmacy is tracking you. They have records.
And your bank is, but it's not your government.
I agree with you there.
And therein lies the difference. I voluntarily signed up for that credit card. I knew when I signed up for that credit card that they would have an account of where I have been, what I've bought, and what I'm doing. However, I did not sign up for the government to know where I'm going, what I'm buying, and what I'm doing. And therein lies the difference.
You're absolutely right, but there is a tracking system in place. Agreed?
Not with the government and your credit card, no.
That short of a warrant, the government has absolutely no right to see.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with that, but if there is an outbreak, something, there is a way to... I'm not for government interference either, but we are tracked by our debit and credit card purchases. So,
and DJ, I appreciate the call and thank you for it. And you're absolutely right. But we are voluntarily tracked by a third party that does not include the federal government.
And my guess is there are federal rules regulating that a banker cannot just go randomly rifling through your finances, Scott.
I would assume that is correct as well, Dana. Sam, if we have any more calls, we'll keep them and we'll move Terrible Jokes to 4 o'clock. You tell us what to do here. I like this topic a lot. Government interference in my life has always been fascinating to me and troubling.
The phones are ringing and Big Brother is always watching.
Big Brother is always watching. That's right. All right, so we'll move.
The phones are ringing and the government knows it.
We'll move Terrible Joke to the next hour. We'll keep going with this until the top. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. By Nina. I think this is the English version. What does it matter? We're talking about the governor of Kansas, Laura Kelly, who is not pleased with the Linn County Health Director in Kansas. That's eastern central Kansas. Order going out requiring many businesses to record the names, contact numbers, and the time and date of interactions with clients, patrons, or customers for at least 30 days to help find people potentially infected with the virus. Now, if you think it's exclusive just to Linn County, Kansas, it is not. The story goes on to say, where is this about Kansas City, Missouri?
I thought Kansas City, Missouri was asking for that, Scott.
In addition, officials in Kansas City, Missouri have developed rules for reopening restaurants on Friday that strongly encourage, don't require, but strongly encourage the, quote, maintenance of record on all customers who stay in your business for more than 10 minutes. Well, that's just about everybody, isn't it? Unless you're coming in to pick up. You go in to get your hair cut, you're staying for more than 10 minutes. You go in to dine in, that's more than 10 minutes. Oh, I told my wife I'm not an alcoholic anymore, but here I am bellied up at your bar at the Quaff. Oh, I got to go. It's only been 9 minutes.
I didn't even think about bars or liquor stores.
Yep. Well,
like, where would you not want people knowing you had been?
Bazookas, liquor store, bar.
Casino, 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Sorella's. What are you getting there, honey? None of your business. I'm saving it for your birthday. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Sam, to the phones, please.
Mark in Eaglesville.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, this is Mark. I actually lived in Kansas City before I became a truck driver, but I learned about the contact tracing week ago. It started up in California. They was talking about it in Washington State. In California, they was talking about in Ventura County, What's that?
Nothing. We're listening to you.
Okay. And then in Washington State, Governor Inslee was talking about contract tracing. So if you have contact with people that have COVID-19 or you have COVID-19, they'll go to your door. That's why they want the information. They'll go to your door. And what they want to do is separate you from your family. That's pretty much what it is.
And would you be forced to quarantine? Like, if you have a job and there's no evidence you have coronavirus, but let's say you happen to be in an auto parts store where they are now contacting people who went in and bought something there, would you then have to not go to work for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, if you have any contact with anybody, even if you're at work and somebody comes to you and you work and you have contact with somebody that has COVID-19, they're going to separate you from your home and your family into their own government facility.
Well, stop.
Well, not to their own government facilities, but I think they would say, Scott, you were supposed to quarantine, and that could mean people couldn't go to work, despite the fact I have no symptoms and there's no – I would demand a test at that point. I would say, you test me right now.
But the government is not going to yank you out of your home and put you in a government facility. That is false. That is fake news. That is not true. Now, the government could do some contact tracing and say, hey, Scott, you were at the radio station the other day, the same day that Dana was in the radio station, and the two of you were sitting in your offices talking, which hasn't happened in the last 2 months, but I'm using it as an example. We would like for you to self-quarantine for 14 days. And by the way, we would like for you to self-quarantine with your family. But they're not yanking me out of my house.
And I wouldn't even do that, Scott. Bags. I wouldn't even do that. I would say, you test me. If you've tracked me down because I was in some office with you, whatever, I want to test right now. And we both know that's not going to happen because they don't have enough tests.
That is correct. We will do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 4:15 this afternoon. 4:15. News is next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.